Hello, listeners. Welcome to Burst. I'm Liana, and today at Studio One we have three very special guests. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
We're here with them today because all of them are from different countries, and today we're going to talk about a little bit about how is Christmas celebrated in different countries of the world. So I'm going to ask each one of you to introduce yourselves, where you're from, and how do you say Santa Claus in your language. So Thea.
Hello, I'm Thea. I'm from Norway, and we call Santa Claus Julenissen.
Hi, I'm Przemek. I'm from Poland, and we call Santa Claus Święty Mikołaj.
Yeah, so I'm Brendan. I'm from Belgium, and we call Santa Claus Père Noël.
So, let's start with the basics. How do you describe the Santa Claus in your countries? Is he the same as America, that traditional red old guy with the long beard? How do you keep that myth on your countries? And did you believe them when you were kids?
I have never believed in Santa Claus. But that's because he's never given me any gifts. But, well, I did meet Santa Claus, actually, when I was like 3 or 4, I think. But I was so shy. It was a Christmas party and we had to walk up to him and like get a bag of sweets or something. And I was so scared that I was just holding my hand in front of my face the entire time. And I didn't look at him.
Well, we usually, up till a couple of years ago, it was Father Frost that was giving presents in Poland. So an old guy with like a frosty beard with a frosty skin and like carrying a big sack of frosty gifts for you. But unfortunately, because everything is being commercialized and Americanized nowadays, the red fatso from America is also giving presents to our kids these days. I've always preferred to believe in the more traditional one, the Father Frost figure. But I think both of them represent basically fairly the same thing, like the gift, the joy of giving to others and all that stuff. So I don't think there's a problem with, you know, changing a little the tradition a little bit.
So in Belgium, I think children don't really believe in Santa Claus. They believe in Saint Nicolas, and Saint Nicolas is like a really Christian version of Santa Claus that comes on the 6th of December instead of the 24th, 25th.
Oh, really? That's very interesting.
Yeah, and a bit creepy, but we like him anyway.
Why does he come on the 6th of December?
Well, to be honest, I have no idea. Just to be different than the other countries, I guess.
Did you believe in him?
Yes, of course I did. I did for like 6, maybe even 7 years. It's really credible because basically it's somebody coming in your house at night from the chimney and he has a donkey following him around. And then he has like this weird like black guy following him around as well. And the black guy basically punish like naughty children. So yeah, that's really racist, but that's how it is in Belgium. So yeah, I believed in that.
In Norway, we actually have like two sort of separate. We've got the Santa Claus, which is the American Coke bad guy.
I'm having a laugh attack. I'm sorry. I still can't cope with the black guy following the guy on the donkey.
I know, that's terrible.
Oh God, sorry.
Okay, Thea.
Yeah, in Norway we have sort of two separate versions. We've got the American Santa Claus fat guy, and we've got the not really Santa Clauses, but they're sort of like people wearing red who lives on the farms. They don't really like bring gifts to children or anything. It's more like a partnership. Like if you give them like the porridge and everything, then they will help you keep the animals. And if you don't give them the porridge, they will wreck your farm and possibly kill your animals. So you need to keep them happy. And yeah, that's more the Norwegian tradition, really.
Oh. That's interesting because in each tradition we have that if you are a bad person, you don't have presents or they're going to punish you in some way.
Well, basically, I think it's not only in my home but also in other homes in Poland. there's something called a carol. Like when you sing from house to house, you get, it's kind of like Halloween trick or treating, but you dress up as baby Jesus, Mary, all the three kings, and you go from house to house and you sing carols, and then people have to give you sweets on like money or whatever. Yeah, it's a very old tradition, and you can either do it from like your neighbor to neighbor, or you can do it at home. Like for example, me and my cousins, we all sing to our grandmother, and then she gives us either sweets or money or whatever she made with her, I don't know, the stitches, like dolls and rags. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
We actually have that in Norway as well, except we don't dress up as
baby Jesus.
We just dress up as weird old people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Julebok, which sort of meets Christmas goat, which I have no idea why.
Oh, maybe because of the devil, because there's one of the singers is the devil in Poland, and it's called Diabeł.
How about you, Brenda? Do you have singers in there?
Well, no. That's really sad, but we don't have singer. We don't have people dressing as baby Jesus and stuff like that. So,
how about the weather in your countries when it's Christmas time? Is it snowy?
It's hopefully snowy. December is a bit hit and miss. It can be snowy. It depends on where you live. If you live further up north, it should be snowy. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping that it will be snowy when I go home for Christmas this year. And not just wet and slippery. But we'll see. Hopefully it's snow.
Yeah, I always hope that there will be snow on Christmas Day, but it usually is the usual scenario is it snows before and after Christmas, and on the Christmas Day suddenly there's like a burst of hot and air that melts everything down. But last Christmas we had quite a lot of snow. I live in the southeast of Poland, so we get all the cold winds from Russia coming to us directly. So hopefully something will come from Russia. Something good. The wind. Not anything else. Not Putin. Yeah. And yeah, but it's always nicer, like it gives the, you know, the kind of cozy, fuzzy atmosphere when you got like a coat of snow over the roofs and farm and everything.
In Belgium, yeah, sometimes it's snowing, but the snow tend to like melt quite fast, so it's not like super beautiful Norwegian snow all over the place. It's like black mush melting in the street, but it's nice anyway.
We have that in the town I come from as well, because it's quite low. But other parts of Norway is nice.
Well, same in Belgium. Other part, nice. Brussels, not that much. But
Surprisingly enough, I'm the presenter. I'm Brazilian. So the Christmas in my country is very different from what you're describing. The weather there is very hot all the time. We don't have snow. We don't have Santa Claus because we don't have chimneys in our houses. So, but it's very similar to the American one. But let's talk about food now. What do you have for supper on Christmas Eve?
Depends which part of my family I'm with. I've grown up with sort of like, I don't know what it's called, but it's like pork steak thing.
Meat?
Yes. There's different kinds of meat, and I really like that one, but I like more the tradition from the western part of Norway, which is lamb. You've got like sticks of bones with a little bit of meat on them, and you cook it for hours, and it's really salty and nice, and you have it with mashed swede, I think it's called, and stuff, which is delicious. My family from down south in Norway have cod, usually. That's also what my dad and stepmom has, because she's a pescatarian. I think those are sort of the main things to have. Some people might have turkey, but it's not really.
And for dessert?
We have like a rice cream kind of thing. Like you make rice porridge and then you take the cold rice porridge and you make cream and you have mix that all together. Probably with some sugar as well, I think. And then have like a berry sauce to it, which is delicious. And that's where you put the almond in.
Well, Christmas Eve, you're not allowed to eat any meat, so the supper is vegetarian with fish, different kinds of fish. Like we have carp, which is the traditional fish of our Christmas Eve, which I hate, absolutely disgusting. No matter how you prepare it, like I hate the taste of the fish. We have better ones though. We got haddock, hake, or basically any fish you want, depending on your family. We also have traditional borscht, which is red beetroot soup with kind of weird dumplings that we called ears, because they kind of look like pig ears. You fill them with mushroom paste and boil them so that they kind of like nice pastry.
Sounds delicious, actually.
And we also prepare cabbage, because traditionally you're supposed to have 12 dishes on your table.
Oh wow!
I like the 12 apostles, you know, the disciples, whatever. One of these is cabbage with beans and kind of carrots, all sorts of vegetables. There is also a traditional drink called compote. Mm. I know that compote in French means something different. Mm-hmm. This is basically dried, like a juice made out of boiled dried fruit, which tastes horrible. I only drink it because of my grandmother. And I only drink a sip because it tastes like fruit that were rescued from a fire. So,
well, that's a bit like the French compote then.
Yeah.
Kind of.
A little bit. For dessert, we usually have either cheesecake or poppy seed cake, because poppy seed is very big for Christmas. Like we eat poppy seed noodles, poppy seed pasta, and a poppy seed cake, which is basically just poppy seed mass with raisins and nuts that it's stuffed inside a pastry and baked.
Yeah, so we don't really have like one specific dish that we would eat for Christmas. It's more like a lot of different and really fancy dishes. Well, regular dishes, but fancy name on it. So you would eat like oyster and fish first, and then go to some fancy meat like venison or something like that. And yeah, as long as you have too much to eat, it's a Christmas dinner.
How about dessert?
For dessert, we have something specific. We have like this ice cream cake shaped like a log, like an old wooden log. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good, but that's what we have.
Okay, so now let's talk about an interesting thing that happened to you during Christmas. Do you have like a funny story to tell us about Christmas Eve or something that's very memorable to you?
Well, we have this belief that, I don't know, it's probably universal for the other countries, but we have this belief that on Christmas Eve, all the animals start to speak human language. And if you listen to them at midnight, they will tell you like life secrets and they will share their knowledge with you. So it's a tradition to actually go to your animals. If you have a farm or if you have like a pet, to go to them at midnight and give them a piece of, like, we have this special bread that we share with each other before the dinner, and we wish ourselves like good wishes. It's basically like communion bread, but it's bigger. So you share it with other people, but there's also a pink one, which is a special bread for the animals, and you share it with them, and they're supposed to talk to you. Unfortunately, none of my animals ever spoke to me.
Maybe they don't speak Polish, though. Have you tried in English?
Maybe I tried. Yeah, well, I tried English and Spanish, and unfortunately, maybe, yeah. Well, to be fair, my cat was Siamese, so it was probably the language barrier. But yeah, that sounds amazing.
What do you think your animals would tell you?
Probably, why aren't you giving me more food? I'm always hungry. Or yeah, my cat, when it was still alive, it really loved to chew on like different stuff and then vomit it out. So probably it would tell us to not leave like very delicious, for example, pom poms from our cushions outside, like lying around, because it would eat it.
How about you guys? Do you have an interesting story about Christmas?
Well, usually on Christmas, at some point, my little sister puke on me.
Why?
I think it's because she eat too much every time. I'm not quite sure. Maybe she does it on purpose. I hope not.
What, like projectile vomiting?
Kind of, yeah. You see the, like...
that happens a lot of times.
Maybe 4 or 5 times, so yeah. It's becoming an habit.
That's really weird.
That's why I'm not going home for Christmas.
We don't have any puking in my house, unless a cat pukes, but that hasn't actually happened a lot. Although they will eat anything. I remember one Christmas, we opened presents and everything, and suddenly we could see like a little bit of the wrapping, like the not the paper, but the string, sort of, sticking out of the cat's mouth. And my dad started dragging in it and just dragged out like, I don't know, 3 or 4 meters of...
Like a magician.
yeah, that's pretty cool.
So...
Okay, so now let's talk about presents. What was the best gift you received in your life for Christmas? Like, for example, my best present was when I received... we have this famous TV presenter that she presents for kids, and she had, like, a lot of factories of food. So she had, like, factory of chocolate, factory of popcorn, and my mom gave me a lot of those, so I would make food with... Yeah.
So you would still have to make the food.
Yeah, but it was fake food.
Oh, better.
That's a very weird gift. I would never think that it's a very interesting. Well,
but then you could play kitchen.
Yeah, but you couldn't actually eat it.
I love to play kitchen.
I've never played kitchen. I usually played other rooms. I was a weird kid. I played the bathroom.
How do you play it?
Oh, well, basically, we played bathroom for like pets, and we were using our mascots as a salon for like as customers for the bathhouse.
Oh, so you meant like bathroom, like, oh, I'm going to use the toilet.
Well, we were using pets in that way as well. They were doing all their physiological pet needs in our imaginary.
For Christmas, he got like this little potty for his animals.
Yeah. I think my best present was, it was one of the first gifts in my, in our new house. With my family, I received, it was in, I think, 2001 or 2000 or 1999, I don't remember. And I received a portable audio disc player with MP3. And I was so excited because I knew that no one else had one that could play MP3s. And MP3s were like really new and big at that time. In Poland, I don't know how it was with other countries. We were a little bit, a few years behind. But yeah, I remember I was very excited. And the first thing I did after Christmas was to buy myself a bulk of empty CDs and just record as many MP3s as I can on my disc. No matter if it was music or if it was like a podcast from the radio, I just wanted to have as much as possible just to be like, yeah, I got this.
How about you guys?
I remember once when I was a kid, I got like Cinderella's castle with like a miniature Cinderella's castle with like, I don't remember what they were called, but that was like a whole toy range with like miniature dolls kind of, which was really quite dangerous for children because you could eat them.
Yeah.
For some reason I didn't, luckily. Yeah, and it was a really beautiful Cinderella's castle. And I think one of the longest used Christmas presents was digital drawing tablet, which I probably got 15 years ago, and I used it the other day, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of Christmas present. We didn't really do that in my family, the present part of the Christmas, so.
Why not?
Because some member of the family were totally broke, so I couldn't tell like which was my favorite gift.
Oh,
yeah. No, yeah. But it's all about like Christmas and not the gift. It's
yeah,
like
of course.
Family reunion and stuff like that. And
yeah, you start with like a nice chat, then it starts to get political and everybody starts to shout.
Everybody
gets
drunk and really upset. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That's
like
the
by
spirit.
The end of Christmas, everybody hates each other.
We did that, but we skipped the gift part.
Oh, yeah. So basically, it's even more misery.
We usually skip the gifts these days. I mean, we will still give each other things, but we will, like, I remember when I was younger and going to, like, big Christmas parties with my family, and the gift opening would just take forever. And, I mean, it was nice, but, you know, everyone would have gifts from, you know, people who weren't present as well, and it was just ridiculous. So now if we have a Christmas party, we just go, okay, we give gifts to each other and then just forget about everything else and can do that later. Because we open in Norway, we open gifts on the 24th, not on the 25th.
Oh. Yeah, we do the same thing. Like we after supper, after everything is eaten, and you feel slightly sick, and you need the food to kind of a bathroom break. Basically, the elders at the table tell the kids to basically you're allowed to do this, and the kids go under the tree and they check the content. Yeah.
We have that as well with, you know, the children having to wait until after dinner and after the dishes has been done.
Oh, do they have to do the dishes?
They don't have to necessarily do the dishes, but they do have to wait for everyone's ready. So all the adults are looking forward to the food. That's the biggest part of the evening. The kids are looking forward to the presents.
I think my mum would like it because she always complains that the dishes are always left dirty for her. But we're like, well, we have our gifts now, so.
Quick question. Which one do you prefer, Christmas or New Year?
Christmas.
Christmas.
New Year.
We've never really celebrated New Year's in my family, so it's always been this night that everyone was like, oh my God, it's New Year's, it's something. And I'm like, oh, it's fireworks. And I always find it slightly depressing because the year is over. And
no, it's a new one starting. It's New Year, not like old year over. It's
yeah, I need to start thinking like that. It's been nice in the last couple of years because then I've celebrated with friends. And I remember when it was the year 2000 and we switched millenniums, I was sick. I think I was puking.
It was firework. No. Oh
God. That was like an extra fountain to the to the display. Yeah. It's good that you said that you remember the New Year's because I usually don't. I'm afraid the state of inebriation on every single party is way too high. We usually switch turns with my friends who's making the New Year's Eve party. This year is going to be me at my house. You're all invited. You can say it on the radio. Czechanki 142, Poland. That's the address. Hopefully there won't be like 5,000 people coming.
All the Polish people.
I think most people didn't catch the address, so it's only be Polish people there.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's going to be quite an interesting one this year because I decided it to be a fluorescent white party. So I bought all the lamps, all the paint. My mom was already like giving me instructions how to clean everything because that's usually the case. My last party at home, we destroyed the aquarium and flooded the house. So,
you killed a fish.
No, most of them survived.
Oh, okay.
The only ones that didn't survive managed to find their way under the carpet. I don't know how. Don't ask me. They're fish. They have their fishy ways.
Didn't you give them the bread so that they could tell you?
Oh, the bread.
It was already too late, I think.
It was a little bit too late. It was after Christmas, so they stopped. They stopped talking, unfortunately. But yeah, I prefer Christmas because of the fuzzy kind of feeling and family. And it's kind of, I cannot really explain it, but the feeling is a little bit different. Because New Year's Eve is, it's fun, and it's a great party, and I cannot wait for it every year. I cannot wait for this year to end. But
you get the hangover afterwards.
Yeah, usually. Like, probably not this year, because when I'm hosting a track, I like to be sober all the way through and to, you know, manage everything properly and make sure that everyone's having fun apart from myself. So, yeah, it's going to be sad.
And you, Brendan, why do you prefer a new year?
Well, it's, I don't know, it's like, it's a bigger party, you get totally drunk and you do whatever you want and it's fun. And while Christmas, yeah, it's all the family stuff and whatever, but
that's why, because your family's totally wrecked. And you don't get to have a proper Christmas.
So but maybe that's why.
I almost prefer before Christmas. I think when I was a child, then it was like Christmas Eve was the big thing. Yeah. But now it's like I really like the preparation and going around singing Christmas songs and writing Christmas cards and making gifts and just looking so forward to it, and then after Christmas it's like, wait, what happened? Oh, it's New Year's. And then I get the sort of metaphorical hangover of Christmas being over.
Yeah,
but that's why I know they start Christmas like on mid-November and just drag on forever.
Yeah, but I try not to start until December.
Yeah.
Although yesterday I was singing Christmas songs for myself the editing room, but I was the only one there. It was 10 o'clock. Everyone had gone home and left me.
I'm trying really hard not to listen to the Christmas songs, but I have like days or two and I just cannot really
on your MP3 CDs?
Yeah. Cannot stop myself and my MP3 CDs. Oh, gosh. That was the year.
But it does feel sort of like one time in the middle of the summer, I suddenly had a really like big craving for Christmas songs. So I just listened to like two Christmas songs in the middle of summer, and it just felt so much more Christmassy and a little bit illegal. And it was really exciting.
Were you in Norway at this time?
Yes.
I bet in Norway they probably have like law enforcement when you're singing Christmas carols.
Of course they do.
Yeah. Not in a time. You're sentenced to the, you know, Grinch, Meyer, whatever.
Okay, so what's your favorite Christmas movie or favorite Christmas song?
Ooh, easy.
I'm so happy that this question just happened.
I don't even know the name of the movie in English.
Say it in French.
L'étrange Noël de Monsieur Jack.
The Strange Christmas of Mr. Jack?
Yes, something like that, literally.
Oh, it's A Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very good.
That's how you call it? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, to be fair, we call it The City of Halloween, which really doesn't make sense.
We just call it Nightmare Before Christmas, actually.
Yeah.
Just in Norwegian.
In Portuguese, we call it The Strange World of Mr. Jack.
Yeah, makes sense, kind of.
Cool.
Definitely more than The City of Halloween.
And it's like the best Christmas movie ever. And it's not even that much a Christmas movie, but yeah,
yes, it is.
It goes
from like October to January. It's relevant all the time.
Yeah.
It's great.
So you like Tim Burton?
Yeah, I do.
Cool.
Cool. Not judging.
This is Halloween.
No, I like Tim Burton.
Halloween.
Cool.
it's a different holiday, but whatever.
Yeah. So, and you, Schmuck, you are so excited.
I mean, like, I have a full, like, array of Christmas songs that I love to sing. especially after Glee released, like, a couple of Christmas albums that I'm just, like, listening to every Christmas now.
Give us a sample.
One of my favorite songs is the... what's the title? The holly, cause we need a little Christmas. We need a little Christmas. You know, this kind of traditional. You don't know this one? Oh my God! It's really, really cool, and it has this kind of, you know, feel to it. Like you feel like in the Santa Claus's factory, like a little elf making toys. Like
I think it's like Chinese people in Santa Claus factory, but.
Well, we're not supposed to be racist on this show, you know. I'd rather prefer elves, yeah, although I don't know what ethnicity elf is. I don't really know. I would say something between like Greenland and Iceland, something, or maybe like northern Norway. Could you be an elf, Thea?
Could I? I don't know. I could try.
Yeah. That didn't sound convincing, did it?
No, I probably couldn't be an elf.
Yeah. The film that we watch usually, well, we always have to watch Home Alone because it's being played on every single TV station. So it's always there, either for Christmas Eve or Christmas, but I'm not enjoying it anymore. It just plays as a background noise. And we basically know the entire dialogue by heart. But I really love to watch Love Actually. Because it's just adorable, and there's Colin Firth and aww.
And it's cheesy.
Like
it's very cheesy. And we have our Polish version of it, which is called The Letters to M, Letters to Santa, basically. Which is also very good. I really recommend to see it. Like, it's a literal rip-off of the formula, but it's done very well. It's shot really nicely. The actors are really good, like the best Polish actors that we have currently. And there's a sequel coming out this December, so if you're ever in Poland and in cinema and you wish to see a film that you don't understand because there are no subtitles, then yeah, be my guest.
And you, Theo?
I have sort of two favorite. There, in Norway, every Christmas Eve they air two Christmas movies in the morning that I sort of have to watch or at least have on. One of them is, I'm not sure, I think it might be a Czech film, possibly. I don't remember which country it's from, but it's not Norwegian. It's about Cinderella, and she has like three nuts. It's a really nice story, and it's really
is it
lovely.
PG?
Yes. Goodness, no, she gets like literal nuts, and they and they like
Cinderella
give her
and
clothes
her nuts.
And stuff.
Nuts give her clothes.
No, but it's really nice, but it's also dubbed. But it's one guy dubbing the entire film, which
you
is really weird. Yeah, I mean, because we usually don't dub films in Norway.
Yeah,
but
we don't. We have like one guy like talking over it.
Oh my God.
So we don't generally do that, but on that film we do that, and it's weird. Like one year they send it with subtitles instead, but now they can't do that because it's tradition. They have to have the weird guy, and he's not really engaged. It's like, hurry up. It's like really bad dubbing, but it's part of the thing. And it was a great
Pick
commercial once. That was a parody. That was lovely.
It's like the character is saying, hurry up! And he dubs like, hurry up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. It's the same thing. We have this in television all the time because our... Well, we don't dub films. In the cinema, we always have films with subtitles, apart from the Polish ones and from animations, because the animations are dubbed specially because they're for kids.
Yeah. Mm.
So when you're watching TV, obviously they're not going to screen subtitles on TV because people are lazy. So they just have this guy talking over the entire film and just reading the lines. And yeah, it's bizarre. Like, I haven't seen it in many countries, but I think it's a little bit better than dubbing films because...
I don't think so. It's like very boring. It's the same voice for everybody. It doesn't make sense.
They ruin the thing. I mean, the only reason I like it on that Christmas film is because I've grown up with it. That's how it is. But
well,
otherwise...
That's why I always pick subtitles over either dubbing or this guy.
That's really weird, actually, because in Brazil, like, we have this law that every content that it's foreign that comes to us, we have to dub it. Mandatory.
Oh, wow.
I think the same thing is in Spain, because in Spain, each actor has an assigned voice actor that always dubs him or her in a movie. So basically, they don't know the original voices of the actresses. And when they speak actually for interviews or something, they're like, huh, so she's not Spanish.
Yeah.
And we don't have that. And I think it's a little bit like, I know the natural voices of the original voices of all the actors and actresses. But yeah, for TV is quite problematic. There is a really good documentary right now. It was released last year about the people who actually do the voiceover. And it's so bizarre when you can actually connect the face with the voice, because you always hear this guy talking over your film, over like millions and millions of film, and then you see his face, like, what is happening? It's like, it's so weird. Like, you have to...
Face?
Sorry, no, it's just a normal guy, but you would never think that this voice has a face, that is an actual human.
Yeah.
I just associated it to a voice, like a voice.
So
that
where did
exists.
You think the voice came from?
Well,
from
you just
thorax.
Never think about it. The thorax, yeah. You never think about it because the voice is always there. He always talks. And suddenly, when you watch a documentary like this, you see the guy and it feels like he's dubbing himself. It's very bizarre.
But that's actually, because the second Christmas movie that they air is a Norwegian one, about a story about the king of a country. He curses the Christmas star. His daughter, the princess, wants to go and get the Christmas star to put it on top of the tree. And his brother wants to be king, so he kidnaps the girl or something. I don't remember. So anyway, the princess disappears, the king curses the star, so that disappears, and then later on the girl comes and she's going to go and find the Christmas star for the king. And of course she turns out to be the princess, obviously. And there she meets Santa Claus with his little elf thing, and they are played by children but dubbed by old guys. So it gives that sort of weird little Christmas
Why
people
would they
thing.
Do that?
Because they're elves.
Because
so they look like children, but they are grown yeah. people.
Because you know it's Christmas.
Yeah.
You need to be creeped out by something.
That's actually a really nice film, though. It's really good. And my favorite Christmas song is a Norwegian one about being 4 years old at Christmas and going the carol singing thing to the grandparents.
Do you have traditional Norwegian carols? Because in Poland we have quite a lot of the original Polish ones that are not sung like anywhere, apart from like the classic ones like Silent Night, which is
German.
German, but it's been translated to almost every
language.
Yeah,
we have Silent Night in Norwegian as well. I think we right now I can't even remember which ones are, but yeah, we have definitely Norwegian Christmas songs. Yeah.
We have one about naked baby Jesus. Well, he's just lying there in the hut, like he's crying because he's very cold and nobody like helps him, like and a mother is his mother Mary, she's trying to make him a little bit warmer by singing to him. Give him some clothes.
I don't want a song, I want a blanket, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's called Jezus Malusieńki, so which translates to tiniest little Jesus. And it's something like that. Jezus Malusieńki leży wśród stajenki. Płacze z zimna, nie dała mu matusia sukienki. Something like that.
Oh, very nice.
And then it goes over and over. And there's like, oh, she was so poor, she couldn't find a piece of cloth.
So did Jesus die in the end?
No. No, Jesus lives. Spoiler alert.
Does he get clothes?
I have to think about it, like, the animals, I think, help, like, they come and they like, give their warmth to him.
I thought you were going to say they give their skin.
No, but we have a lot of ones about the animals as well, like, the animals, like, are making noises and bowing down to the baby Jesus because it's been born in the manger. Basically, everything is either a lullaby to Jesus or about Jesus being cold and poor here in the manger. None of them are as sad. Not all of them are sad. Like, most of them are actually very happy and uplifting. But we have also some sad ones because Christmas, it's not only about happiness. It's also about a little bit of sadness.
And Jesus.
And Jesus.
Yeah. Mostly, apparently.
Do you have, like, any place that you'd like to spend Christmas in that you think that it's nice, or New Year, for example? That you would like to go and celebrate there?
Shopping mall. Kidding. Kidding.
I don't know. I just like to spend Christmas with my family. It doesn't really matter where, to be honest.
But it would be awesome in Australia. You just go surfing and have a
barbecue
on the
beach. Yeah, I mean,
I've only
spent Christmas in Norway. So I guess, I mean, I do like the cold. Yeah, for it to be cold at Christmas. But again, I have never tried anything else, so I might really enjoy being able to not wear 1,000 layers. So
I think it's the same for me, because I've never spent Christmas anywhere else but home, and I don't think I would ever be able to. Like, it's like a natural thing. Like, I would probably not spend Easter or New Year's Eve at home, but Christmas, it always has to be with the family at home, with the Christmas tree, with the cat and everything.
Yeah, I would like to spend Christmas in Norway. Must be pretty cool. I spent Christmas in New Zealand. That was cool as well.
Wow.
So
Norway is pretty cool. Especially when we have snow. When you can go, like, when you have children and you can send them out to get all their energy out in the snow and go, like, sledding and stuff.
Yeah, I want to do that. I don't have children. I want to do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope to go sledding this year.
Oh, I have a story about sledding. Because my grandfather was a carpenter, and now he's retired, but he's very skilled.
Like Jesus.
You're probably thinking about what I'm thinking, but don't. Yeah, so he was a carpenter and he was making sleds for us for one of the Christmases. And he was testing the speed for each sled because each sled was from different components. Like one was wooden, one was from metal, one was like a combination of aluminium and I don't know, Velcro, whatever. And I decided to test the biggest, the heaviest one. And the hill was quite steep. So I sat down on the sled and... like as soon as I started, I reached like supersonic speed and I started screaming, and I could not stop for heaven. Like no, there was no option. I just had to hit something, and fortunately, at the very bottom of the hill, there was a gate to our neighbor's garden with a padlock and a big chain on it, and the impact of the sled hitting the gate was so massive that the chain, the padlock, the gate was completely destroyed. I don't know how did I survive this, but
breaking and entering.
Yeah, and fortunately I didn't break any bone in my body. It was just the sled that took the impact. So I think my grandfather is a very good engineer in that sense.
Cool.
Yeah, I just remember like a big bang and me just falling on the snow, mm-hmm. and everything exploding. Christmas.
Your
Christmas.
Grandfather reminds me of a children's story, actually.
Yeah.
Which is about a carpenter who's going. He's going to dress up as Christmas. No, not as Christmas. As Santa Claus. He's dressing up as Santa Claus to, you know, for his children and stuff. And then he goes, I think he goes with the sled, and then he like slips on the ice or something and bumps into this other guy who's also dressed as Father Christmas. And that's the actual Santa Claus. And so they figure out that, oh, we're going to switch. You go to my kids and I go to your kids. And he makes sleds for
think,
all of
yeah.
the little Christmas Father Santa Claus children thing.
Wait, so how many sleds do you have? It doesn't make sense, no.
Why?
Because, so, there is the real Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He bring gift to the children of the fake Santa Claus.
Yes.
And the fake Santa Claus bring gift to everybody else?
No, just the children of the real Santa Claus. They just switch in between them. They don't care about the children
yeah,
of the people.
That's
also, Santa Claus is like has like an exclusive premium club of children.
I don't know. Maybe he does all the other children as well. The fairy tale doesn't mention that.
Well, it's a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale. Indeed, and I don't think he actually has any gifts for the children, but he like makes them because he's a carpenter, so he makes them stuff. Mm.
Yeah, well, so I think that's it. Thank you guys for the amazing interviews. I had a great time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, should we finish like each one of you saying goodbye to our listeners? If you have like a final message for them, how to enjoy Christmas, and if you could say Merry Christmas in your language too.
So,
ha en riktig god jul.
That's Merry Christmas.
That's have a really nice Christmas. God jul. It's Merry Christmas.
God jul.
God jul.
Okay. Wesołych świąt Bożego Narodzenia. That's Merry Christmas.
Okay. Joyeux Noël et bonne année.
Ah, you said Merry Christmas and have a good year.
Yeah, we always say both at the same time, so.
Yeah,
I know French.
God jul och gott nytt år.
Szczęśliwego nowego roku. What? Yeah. We say szczęśliwego nowego roku, which is Happy New Year.
Cool. Well, mine is too modest. In Portuguese, we just say Feliz Natal e Feliz Ano Novo.
Ooh, cool.
Because everything is Feliz.
Yeah.
Feliz every. That's the spirit, though. It's like
yeah. Feliz Navidad. I love the video when Skeletor from He-Man sings it on YouTube.
Okay, so thank you guys, thank you listeners, and you just listened to International Christmas. I'm Liana, thank you very much, bye.
Bye.